And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot going on the program today. Brian Callahan remains as Titans head coach for the time being. We'll get into that. Are the Jacksonville Jaguars for real? Is their coach going to try to fight everybody in the league? We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Are Derrick Henry and the Baltimore Ravens cooked? Because, whoo, looked rough the other day. Plus, college game day on the road for Vanderbilt, Alabama, coming up this weekend. And I was thinking about this yesterday. Is this the biggest Vanderbilt game of my life? We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. As well, forget the result, forget what we know happened last year in the Vanderbilt Alabama game. Heading into it, is this the biggest Vanderbilt game of my life? We'll discuss that a little bit later in the program as well. Joe Rex Road, happy Tuesday morning to you. What's going on?
Well, thanks. Not much going on, just whatever's going around. Stop.
There's a lot of stuff
I'm trying
going
to stop. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going around. I know. So, I got something. But, hanging in there.
Good to know. Good that you're hanging in there, my man. Good that you're hanging in there. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Doing great. Beautiful weather lately. This past weekend, yesterday, nice to be outside. Oh, yeah. Actually touch some grass, walk around, you know.
We could all
flush myself from the football woes of the week.
Yeah.
It was, but it was good. Yeah. Doing great. A couple of doubleheaders last night, I suppose. Came up short in the fantasy football league against Robbie, thanks to Joey Sly missing his two field goals this week. So, not bitter about that at all. But yeah, doing great.
Hate to see it.
What was the final score?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's pull it up. Ian, do you know it off the top of your head?
It was like in the fantasy league? It was like 115.
124.88 to 115.12.
So I got minus two for his missed kicks.
Plus the points that he didn't get for making them.
And if he would have just made them, I would have gotten eight. You know, it's a 10-point swing. I would have won by a quarter of a point.
My God, Joey Sly. My God. I didn't realize we get negative points for kickers missing. That's tough, man. It's a tough
league. Yeah, right?
Got to draft the right kicker, man.
Well, I'm the idiot for keeping Joey Sly on my team.
Make sure they're accurate.
So.
Big leg.
Make sure they're accurate out there. Well, speaking of the Titans, Brian Callahan did address the media yesterday, which means that for the moment, he's still got his job. Now, I do think, Joe, that there are some people that are like, oh, wait a minute, hold on now. I mean, Amy Adams Strong, she doesn't fire people on Mondays. She don't do that. She fires people on Tuesday. So I guess we have to sit here and keep one eye open today in case she makes a move. But I did not get the sense by trotting him out there yesterday to do a press conference that he is going to be fired today. So I guess we'll wait and see on that front. But Brian Callahan was asked about his job security yesterday, and I thought gave an interesting response. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say at his presser.
Do you have assurances that you're going to be able to see this through this season where you're not looking over your shoulder after every Sunday?
Yeah, I don't, whether I do or I don't, it doesn't matter to me. My job is to try to put our team in position to win as many games as possible and to keep coaching until the day comes that they don't want me to coach here anymore. And that's the reality for everybody that coaches in the league. You don't think too much about it. I don't look for assurances. I can tell you I've always been supported here. I've always felt like the people that I have to work with on a day-to-day basis believe in what we're doing and how we're doing it. But again, I also know how the NFL works. I go in every day and I work as hard as I possibly can to try to put ourselves in good position. And I do that for as long as they'll have me. And that's the only way I've ever known how to work. That's how I've worked every spot I've ever been. Your assurances come from how you play and you win. That's at the end of the day. That's just how it always goes. So we got to get ourselves to that spot.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday at his press conference. And Joe, I mean, I took that to mean that he probably has not received any assurances at this point, which I don't think is all that surprising. But well, what did you make of Brian Callahan's answer there? A much less combative press conference yesterday than maybe I thought heading into it with Brian Callahan and the media.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. It was a fine answer. And I don't think anybody gets assurances, and he knows he's in the NFL and he's seen it with his dad. So, you know, I mean, I think that was all fine. You know, the Tuesday thing, I'm trying to think of this because yeah, like after he answers all those questions, it would be pretty amazing. Okay. Well, thanks for letting us know about all the excitement you have moving forward, and you're fired today. Thank you. It was a great last presser though.
Really would be.
I mean, cause the Tuesday thing may be true, but okay. So Ran obviously didn't have a presser cause you know, GMs don't have pressers. J Rob didn't have a presser cause GMs don't have pressers, and Vrabel didn't have a presser either. I think he was supposed to have one that day, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right. Because it was like end of the season, right? So, so in neither in none of those cases was there a, you know, a go out as a sacrificial lamb presser and then we'll zap you the next day situation. Right. I think everybody can expect now that Brian Callahan coaches the next game.
Yes, I think that is probably the case. And then the question becomes after that. How close is a move to being made? I mean, we all know all the numbers. Or is a move being close? Is a move close at all? I mean, that's the other thing. Like, is there a possibility that despite how bad it is, despite what the record says, despite the fact that, I mean, by the final scores, they're getting worse as this thing goes on, is there such a buy-in to the patience and the not making rash decisions and everything we've talked about with this franchise, that he's just going to get some time here regardless of how angry the fan base is, what the temperature looks like, all those things. I don't know what the answer to that is, but I do know, and I have heard from Titans fans that were pretty surprised that yesterday wasn't the day, that in the aftermath of a 26-0 shutout loss at Houston, the 0-4 start, the losing of 10 games in a row dating back to last year, the 3-18 overall record. I did hear from some Titans fans yesterday, Joe, that were pretty surprised that yesterday was not the day. So it makes you wonder how close are things really moving forward?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting because, you look back at the other firings and if you wanted to put the firings into the context of like how much of the fan base is screaming for it. Okay. J-Rob. No, I mean, there was definitely more people probably on our show. Like Robinson has really screwed this up, you know, like he needs to be on the hot seat, right? Like certainly at the end of that year, you would have expected at least a deliberation on that conversation, right? And especially if they did fall out of first place, that's a crazy thing, you know. I mean, so no, Vrabel, I'd say it was probably, I don't know, you tell me, was it split? I still think it was probably more stay. To me, the Vrabel situation was the classic loud minority.
Yes.
Right? So, maybe on our text line and stuff and on social media, there were people screaming, but I would say fan base, I'd say split, but a little more stay, which was the smart move. Carthon. Probably the most of those three, right?
Yeah.
But would you say that the fan base was as, you know, galvanized 100% Ran must go right now compared to what they are now with Brian Callahan?
No, I think this is the most by far. I think this is the most united the fan, like of the recent examples that you just laid out there. I think this one by far, just based on the reaction that I can see, I think this one would be the most universally accepted by Titans fans.
Which, of course, means this is the one she won't do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, Amy, we know that you've been firing a lot of people recently, and we kind of want you to do it this time, but I don't guess that's happening.
Sorry. Yeah, so I look, and I mean, it is 4 games into year 2. with a bad franchise.
Oh, yeah.
With a bad situation. So, I mean, like, and again, I will continue to go back to, I think the public outcry from those moves I just mentioned, we just talked about, I think that has an effect. I do. And, you know, if you basically said to yourself or whatever, to your core people you talk to, he gets this year, then, you know, which is fine. Like, he gets this year, he gets Cam, he gets this year, and let's just see at the end of the year. And if it looks great, then, you know, and if it looks bad, then we move on. And, you know, so, I mean, if that's the case, you could then argue, but sometimes you get new information and it's just like, oh boy, you know, you have to do something, which of course they did with the, you know, the Band-Aid of, here, let's switch play calling. Let's take the play calling out of his hands, you know? So I still looking at the state of things and where they're probably going, I still think it's probably hard for him to get out of this year, but maybe that is the mandate. That's the word from above, and they're going to stick to it.
The mandate from the Mandor. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So that's where we start today. Brian Callahan at his press conference yesterday. What if he's getting the whole year? What if the Titans are committed to this pledge of patience that they've thrown out there before the season? We'll get your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Plus something Brian Callahan said in his press conference that we will get to later in the hour that, I don't know about that one. We'll get into all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Brian Callahan addressing the media yesterday. We're taking your thoughts on that. And what if the Titans are committed to giving him the whole year? What's your reaction if that's the case? Jess on the text line says, if this is a foregone conclusion, what are we doing here? Saving Amy's ego until the time is right? Which I agree with. Like, if you feel like it's a foregone conclusion that you're moving on from your coach, as I was saying yesterday, the onus has shifted. Like, you're going to have to start asking me and answering the question for me of what is the good that is being done by keeping this whole thing in place right now as we are actively watching these things get worse around this football team. And that's, I think, a big question that they've got here moving forward. You know, we've talked a lot, Joe, about the morale and what this thing could eventually devolve into if things don't get a whole lot better around here. And, you know, we're at the end of September, and it already feels so doom and gloom around that place. Well, Brian Callahan was asked yesterday by Kuharski about if there's a feeling of hopelessness around the building. Here is what Brian Callahan had to say in response to that.
Is there a sense of hopelessness in the building, Brian?
Hopelessness? I sure hope not. I don't feel hopeless. I know that. I don't sense that from anybody that works in our building. I don't sense that from our players. Look, we're in a rough stretch. You know, we're 0-4, and that doesn't feel good. No one's excited about that. But I do feel their willingness, and you know, there's an excitement about trying to climb out of it too. There's something about that that's real. Competitors relish that challenge, and I think we got a bunch of competitors on our team and on our coaching staff and in our building that are going to fight like crazy to turn this thing, man. That's the fun part about these jobs is you get in these adverse situations and you're trying to find a way out. And trust me, I've done it before, been a part of it before in a couple places, but that reward and that feeling is, there's nothing like it. And that's what keeps me going, is that moment where we could find a way to get it turned is really something that you can't find anywhere, that feeling of accomplishment. And I think that's what drives us. And I think our guys are excited about the chance to go try to prove it.
So he does not sense, Joe, any hopelessness around the building, which I guess that's good. Don't want to be hopeless in September.
He hopes there's no hopelessness.
He hopes that there's no hopelessness.
So to your point on a, you know, pretty chill presser, I mean, Kuharski then tweets, He says, Brian Callahan kind of came alive during his press conference when I asked him if there was a hopelessness permeating the building. Is Garsky trying to like life coach him right now? Is Garsky transitioning into a life coach career?
Brian, what else is on the building here? Relentlessness? Resiliency? What else you got?
he's trying to shepherd Cali through all this. I think that's really great. PK.
I agree.
I guess it's like, you know, it's funny because these Monday pressers after the games, that they have sort of dictated follow-ups on his screw-ups.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like two of the three, like they've been largely like trying to clean up exactly what happened, what you knew, who you talked to and all this stuff. And this is just like, oh, they just stunk and lost. So how's it going? You know, I mean, it's like basically like, you know, the obligatory questions about, do you think you're going to get fired? And
right.
Yeah. You know, again, he gave the answer that you would expect. He has been a part of this. It's interesting too that we're talking about this, and I'm watching the Bengals last night, and my goodness, are they down bad without Burrow? You know, they might be cycling back to I don't know. It's like
the Bengals.
Zach Taylor getting in trouble. Yeah, well, it's like Zach Taylor, like, yeah, I've seen a lot of, like, I think, I don't know if this is true, but I saw a lot on X about he's like 4-29-1 without Burrow. Is that right?
I mean, probably.
But, you know, it's also like, yeah, no, duh, right? It's like, yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, if you have Joe Burrow, you're going to look like a great coach. And if you don't, you're going to potentially look like a, you know, so. But anyway, it's interesting that that there's some turmoil up there, too. But, you know, different ideas. Another good one, the text line. You know, texture says, is the fact they're building a new stadium, just got Vrabel off the books, doesn't want to go back to paying two head coaches, have anything to do with this? And I mean, I think certainly Amy's paid a lot of people to do a lot of not work for her in the last few years.
Yeah.
However, like, if, I guess it's like, if you right now are sitting there, Amy Adams Strunk or the front office combined, whoever's talking to whoever, and like, and you are not, you still think that Brian Callahan can save this and be the coach next year, you know, that's one thing. If you don't, then what's the savings? You know, I mean, it's pretty minimal, right?
Yeah.
So I guess that would be my answer. Like if you're going to fire him at the end of the year anyway, I mean, okay, so that's a few months of paying him not to work for you, right? So, and then where is this come from, Robbie? This thing from Ed. Is this like a Stilly special, giving credence to the rumor that Amy, Brinker wanted to fire him, but Amy, you know, stepped in and saved him?
Yes, I believe that's where that came from.
Okay, so it doesn't necessarily come from anywhere credible. Okay, all right. By the way, did you see the Stillfeld thing? He sent it to me yesterday. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, he sent it to me immediately after our show.
I like the concept. I like Paul Kaharsky as a soup Nazi. That's a nice touch. Got it. And I like, you know, I like the Seinfeld music. Got to be a little, like I said, like, you got to be funnier, though. You got to have some jokes in there, man. You got to have some.
Step it up.
Got to have some observational comedy. Okay, so that's a Stilly special. They debated. And they kept him. The idea that Amy saved him, you know, I guess I'd like to hear that from another source before I buy that. I mean, and even if that's the case, you know, if you're Amy Adams Strunk, you were a few months before you fired John Robinson, you gave him a massive deal and had a statement about how he's the most amazing guy. Like, so like, new information can change your mind anyway, even if there is truth to that.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Roy to the program. Roy, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, thanks, guys. You know, we can all sit back and just think and wonder when is he going to get canned or when is he not going to get canned. This fan base and everybody in the NFL is sitting back and looking at the Titans, you know, our track record with coaches winning and losing and hiring and firing over the last decade or so, you know, Munchak, Wendenhut, Malarkey and Vrabel. What is the magic number for wins and losses? Right now, you can kind of say Wendenhut and Cali is pretty much neck and neck. I mean, I have no clue. I will say this. I really feel like if he continues with these losses, when Vrabel comes in here, if we still have nothing but zeros on the boards and Vrabel takes care of business and gets a win in Nissan Stadium, I'm pretty sure he should be gone by then. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Roy. Appreciate it. You know, Joe, I've thought about this over the last couple of weeks here. Like, the Houston game we made a big deal about last week because we know the history of the game in Houston and what that's meant to the Adams family. And, you know, we've talked about the Vrabel game since the moment the schedule came out here as to maybe that's the time when if Brian Callahan doesn't have it figured out that he gets fired at that point. Like, are those just too obvious? Are they too obvious dates where Amy Adams Strong is like, no matter what happens, I'm not firing him after the Houston game or after Vrabel comes in here because it's way too obvious and people have been talking about it for months at this point?
I like where your brain is going there. You know, it's like you're conscious of what people say and you don't want to become like so like predictable that you're like a, you know, like a dog sniffing a butt, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, thank you. We had to get butt somewhere in the, we've done nearly a half hour of this show and we have not even said we ass one time yet. So, which I'm very disappointed Callahan didn't do yesterday.
Yeah,
at least for
too.
Fun. Like, hey guys, good to see you. We ass and I'll take your questions. No, I think you're onto something. Like the idea of like, I'm not just going to do the obvious thing that, I mean, the Vrabel game thing, like how many times did that get brought up over the summer?
Oh, all the time.
Like a million, right? So I'm with you. It'll be like the, you know, the random, like who's a random team they play, you know, it'll maybe it'll be
Chargers.
Like the second Colts game or yeah, you know, Harbaugh will be, that'll be the last straw. I agree. Like, not being completely predictable is something that people like to do too sometimes.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. There was another thing that Brian Callahan said at his press conference yesterday that was related to a change they made on the field that I was like, huh, well, great. That's awesome. Really worked out well this week. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. By the way, Joe, people wanting to know how we feel about the Tigers Guardians later today. Game one coming up.
Who? Who? Who's that?
I guess that's how we're feeling.
Of course, I'll be watching.
Look, they got all the losses out of the way at the end of the regular season, and now it's go time for the playoffs.
Yeah. Hey, playoffs are crazy, man. Playoffs are crazy. I mean, it's today. It's all, you know, today is Scooble. Scooble goes. So, you know, he can provide hope. And the good thing is if we don't win today, then I don't even – and it's like, fine, there you go. Scuba went, didn't win, end the misery tomorrow, move on. So, look, I'm not
– You sound very
I'm
defeated.
Not optimistic. Yeah, I mean, it's – I mean, that's the worst September in the history of baseball for a team that then played in the postseason.
Yeah.
But it's also – look.
Hey, you could be the Mets. Like,
it's true.
Yes, I still would rather be us than the Mets. Sorry, Willie. Sorry, TD. Sorry, anybody else who's a Mets fan. And the reality is, as defeated as I am, the baseball postseason often completely changes everything. So I'm not. Don't let me talk myself into it.
I'll be
living and dying with every pitch today. And if Scooble gets them, then it's like, okay, can you find a way to get them in one of the next 2 days? And I still can't say I'm optimistic, but I'll take that scenario, please.
Yeah, go Tigers, baby. See how it goes later today. Brian Callahan addressed not calling plays for the first time as a head coach yesterday at his press conference and went through that process, said something in there where I was like, huh, okay. This is what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday at his press conference.
I haven't gotten the opportunity to step back and not call the plays. what did you gain on game day from doing that yesterday?
Yeah, it was unique. That was a weird feeling for me, but there definitely was it was clearer on a lot of, just in terms of like, there's nothing, not that much going on. I just do a lot of listening on both sides and just making sure we're paying attention to where we are situationally and the things that are coming up or could be coming up. I did go try to spend more time talking to the players over the course of the game. So it was trying to find out where I'd fit in like that. You know, that was different. You know, again, I've only known calling games, you know, as the head coach. So it was a unique experience. Again, I don't know if it was good or bad or not, but it was different. And I felt like there was some positives from it, though.
Some positives from it, Joe, that, you know, he wasn't calling plays anymore, but he did get to talk to the players more on the sideline, which the whole thing resulted in 0 points and not a trip to the red zone for the Tennessee Titans against the Houston Texans on Sunday. Good stuff, guys. Worked out well.
Hey, Callie, can you go talk to the defense now, please? Callie, can you go over there, please? Yeah, no, it's like, wow, that really, really paid off, guys. So seriously, if you're looking at that game and you had to just the coaching, because I mean, you know, let's be real. I mean, I think that game and every game this year, you know, what you're going to see is you're going to see some talent deficiency that keeps showing up in a lot of areas. But if you're breaking that game down by play calling versus operation, which was worse?
I mean,
there were no massive operational gaffes that I can recall.
No, I don't think there were big time operational gaffes.
The two trick plays seemed like they just completely did not fit at all.
Yeah,
it's just like don't do that there.
Well, they didn't trick.
And I understand. I am totally on board for the most part with, oh, play didn't work. Call the good play. Don't call the bad play. The bad play didn't work. I get it. But also, yeah, I feel like, you know, there's a time, place, and I think maybe a certain level of success, too, that gives you a chance for a trick play to work.
Well, to me, it just further solidified what my point has kind of been the entire time on this. Look, I don't think Brian Callahan is Sean McVay. But to me, if he's going to be your head coach and you brought him in to be the offensive guy to work with the quarterback and part of it was what you wanted him to be the play caller, then just let him go down with the ship doing that, right? Like, you need to figure out whether
yes.
So because I do think, like, there were some Titans fans last week that were like, well, Bo Hardigree, you know, the last little bit he was an interim in with the Raiders, that went well. And it's like, well, I mean, kind of. Like, if you go look at it, it was okay. It's not like he came in there and was, you know, Kyle Shanahan or anything. So, like, the fact that they switch play calling and immediately come out with a 0 point performance, like, I'm with you. Like, it's probably more to do with the fact that their offense is just absolutely terrible. Like, it's just buns, cheeks, whatever adjective you want to describe with their offense. But I was watching it, and about to the third quarter, I was like, okay, well, let's just get Brian Callahan back to calling plays, because if this is eventually going to work, I mean, doesn't that have to be part of it? Like, you're just going to – if he's head coach and he does a good enough job from here on out the rest of the year somehow, by some miracle they turn this thing around, that you feel like he's going to be your head coach moving forward, is he not going to be a play caller next year? It's like, you're just – like the whole thing just doesn't make sense to me, which we talked about from the very jump of this.
Right. So earlier we were talking about how maybe they just have this plan and they're sticking to it. But I promise you that the plan was not. And then, you know, if we need to, we'll strip them of play calling.
Right.
After three freaking games. So that right there kind of throws the idea. They're already doing things that they didn't intend to do. And again, I've said it before, but I've never had an issue with his play calling. Too many of them don't work. I don't really look at too many of them not working and all this offensive struggling as play calling as an issue. And if he were better, probably more would work and he would figure out some more ways and better ways to try to change the math and smoke and mirrors their way to points, you know, but I just haven't, like, I watching Todd Downing as OC with the, you guarantee yourself that on second and 10, they are running the football.
Yeah.
And some of the predictability with him, or some of the predictability with Terry Rubisky in that 17 season that I think finally got, to me, again, first guessing calls, not just second guessing because it didn't work. I had a lot more issue with that play calling than Brian Callahan's play calling. But it's a terrible team, and so they did what they did. But I'm with you. It's just like that's why we both were arguing the whole idea. It's like, well, that's the core of what he is as a coach. I mean, he's the guy who, if it's good, he's the guy who allows you to have success and not have to worry about losing your OC to another head coaching job, which certainly with this staff, that doesn't seem to be any kind of concern at all.
Doesn't have to be a worry on that front.
So, oh, well, they did what they did, and they lost 26-0.
Well, and again, like, I'm with you. I've never necessarily thought that Callahan's play calling is a problem. I do think it's pretty clear at this point that it's not an elevator, right? Like, there are some guys around the league that elevate the roster that they have because they are very good. Like, for whatever reason, like, it doesn't really seem to matter what quarterback the San Francisco 49ers throw in there, whether it's Mac Jones or Brock Purdy or Jimmy Garoppolo or whoever, because Kyle Shanahan's pretty darn good, right? Like, that's what it is. And, yes, they have a very talented roster. You know, it's going the other way on them now, and they're getting older. But through this run, they've had a very talented roster, and that helps. But I think if you've watched Callahan, it's clear that despite the roster limitations, he's not, like, super genius. He's not like that play call you look at and you're like, yeah, they're going to start hiring everybody that Brian Callahan has ever shook hands with because they've been around Brian Callahan. Like, he's not that guy. But I still think, like, if you're the Titans trying to figure out where it's going from here, like, just let him go down with the ship. So, look, it's probably too late now. I doubt very seriously that they're going to take play calling away from him and then just immediately give it back to him after 1 week. Like, that would almost be as dumb as taking it away from him the first time. So it's probably a lost cause at this point. But, again, like, if you're a Titans fan and you thought that, oh, well, the Titans' offensive issues are about to be solved because Bo Hardery's coming in calling plays, I think we saw on Sunday that that's not the case.
Yeah, they're going to stick with this. That would be hilarious. I mean, again, that would be like Michael Scott snip, snap, snip, snap. You know, speaking of which, I got my world's best boss cup, even though I'm the boss of no one. Someone's on the text, you know, it's not about his play calling, it's about his stupid offense. There's nothing wrong with this offense. I mean, this offense is the most popular offense in the NFL. And you can go around and find different spots where it lights people up because it blocks, throws, catches, runs way better than these guys do. Yep. It's not the scheme. The scheme is not a problem. By the way, I did on the stuff we've been talking about, before I forget about this, Robbie, someone texted that Andrew said last night that he thinks Brinker and Borgonzi are keeping Callahan to shield them. So Callahan is a meat shield.
Yeah.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, I don't know how does it work that way?
I don't know.
Can multiple people not be fired? I guess it's just like the longer it goes till he gets fired, then I have a little bit longer till I get fired. Is that the idea?
I guess. I mean, on the Borgonzi front, like, I don't know why he would be in any jeopardy at all at this point. I mean, you just hired him, and yeah,
you just hired him, and the first draft still looks
promising.
Know, yeah, it looks better. It looks more good than bad.
But, the Brinker thing, if that's his thought process, I've said the whole time. You know, look, we said this the day after Rand Carthon got fired last year, Joe. I think I said, and we could probably go back and find the audio at some point, but I think I said basically, you know, this is what the Titans do. They fired Rand Carthon. Brian Callahan's going to be left around, and the team's going to be so bad that this time next year, we're going to be doing the same thing all over again. They're going to be firing the head coach, and they'll have a new general manager in there, and they won't be on the same time clock, all these things. But one of the things we talked about in the immediate aftermath for the next, like, 2 weeks of Rand Carthon being fired of, okay, you fired Rand. I understand it. Rand wasn't very good. Guess who was with him the whole time? It's Brinker. And that's still the whole – that's the thing in all of this, with all this stuff that's going on with the Titans, that just continues to make no sense to me, that Brinker has been right there through this the whole time and has been elevated and elevated and elevated, and I guess now is like just in great standing with Amy Adams Strunk. And I'm like, okay. I mean, based on what? Based on what to this point?
Yeah, no, I mean, right. It's, and again, it just gets into, I mean, I guess like all the moves that have worked out, you could argue like, you know, those ran were the one pushing those, and the very few that have worked out, that was Chad. I mean, I don't know. I think it's more probably endearing yourself to the owner. But, yeah, no question. He can't separate himself from those failures. So you would think, but I guess you would think he would be next after Callahan, you know, but who knows? I mean, who knows? Who knows? But the only thing that I feel confident about is that, you know, like the Borgonzi part of it, you would think would, my gosh, you'd get a little bit of time, right?
You would think so. You would think so. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front. We will do that coming up next. Later in the program, we will get into Vanderbilt and a huge game against Alabama coming up this weekend, a battle of an undefeated Vanderbilt and an Alabama team that just had a huge win against Georgia. More on that later in the program. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Dave in Big Rock says, part of this fan base is so over the run-run-pass-kick brand of conservative football. That's what got Vrabel, and it looks like an extension of an offensive strategy here. I don't know that I agree with that. Like, I think...
No, I don't either.
I think you could make the argument that they probably need to run the ball more than they do here. By the way, we talked about Tony Pollard last week. I thought he had a nice game. I think he was 4-6 a carry in this game. So, a little bit better than what we saw the week before in that matchup. So, we'll see what this looks like for him moving forward here. But, I mean, the other part of that, Joe, is the Titans have been down so much with Brian Callahan as head coach that they've had to throw the ball in these games. So I don't know that I buy that the run, run, pass, punt has been a very common thing.
I mean, look at the best teams in the NFL for the most part, and look at the correlation between that and running success. It's an inability to do anything, which makes you think it's conservative because you score no points, but it's not right.
Yeah.
It's just an ineffective. Now, again, I understand that, like, Leighton Vrabel, with Derrick Henry here, they were dependent on him, and they, you know, they had no passing game to help him to open things up. So I get that. But, again, it comes down – look when they had a ridiculous – they had arguably the best offense in the NFL, or certainly one of the top two or three offenses in the NFL, which is the last half of 2019 and really all of 2020. That was just a very down-the-middle balanced offense. It was not predictable. You had the 2,000-yard running back, but you also had A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith, et cetera, et cetera. You had that. That's what you need. You need balance. Joe from Maryland says, someone on the radio yesterday said guys are open, Cam's not seeing them. Is Callahan's scheme guys open, or is that false? I'm not watching the all-22s here, Joe, but I can say with confidence, absolutely, there's plays. There's guys open. There's plays to be made. I don't think there's anything wrong with the offensive scheme or Callahan's play calling. Like you said, Robbie, it's not spectacular, but again, when you have a combination of, you have way too many plays where either the blocking breaks down or the quarterback, you know, doesn't see it or misses a throw. The rookie quarterback, you can understand that, but I'm just saying, absolutely. If you had clean pockets and a quarterback playing at a high level, yes, there are guys open, 100%. I mean, look, you play against zone coverage enough. I mean, like, there are guys open against a zone. There's a weakness on a defense on every play in football. It's a matter of being able to locate it, identify it, and get the ball there.
Yeah, and look, with what they have at wide receiver, are guys being, quote-unquote, schemed open often enough? Like, Does Cam Ward have just this smorgasbord of easy access throws out there where guys are wide open all the time? No, I wouldn't say that. That doesn't happen very often in the NFL. Like, you do see it from time to time, but not very often in the NFL. I don't think the system is the problem here. Now, you know, Jared on the YouTube chat is talking about play sequencing, not play calling. And
it's the same thing, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar. I mean, it's when you sequence plays, I guess it's when you call plays. So it is, you know, kind of the same thing from that regard. Is the timing of when to call plays always right with Brian Callahan? Clearly not. And that's what play, right? I mean,
yeah.
We've talked about that earlier this year.
That's what good play calling is.
Yeah, for sure.
It's setting plays up, and you know. So again, I don't distinguish play calling and play sequencing. It's the order of the plays is just as that's central. That's what play calling is, right? I mean. Each play, like, or do you have a plan? Like, McVay, you know, famously has a lot of games. He has really good stuff to set up a defense, make them think one thing, and then he hits them with the counter to that later. So,
well, even here, I thought Arthur Smith was really good at that. Now, and some of that was based on the talent they have, right? Like when you've got the offensive line they have at the end of 2019. And you've got, you know, Derrick Henry playing at the level he was playing at in 2020. I mean, that's pretty darn good, right? Like, you've got a lot of talent around you. But, like, I thought Arthur Smith was really good at setting some things up early in the game and then doing something different off of those setups as the game went on, which is why he got a head coaching job.
Yes. But, I mean, like, and there are people who are above and beyond. I do think like a McVay, but these guys, what do they do? This is what they do all week long. Like, this is their job. They have just mounds of data. They can break down every coverage, every possibility. They can break down individual matchups, which is what a lot of this is, right? It's like, okay, there's the weak link. We need to get the slot fade, just like the Texans set up Amani Hooker for the slot fade, and it's like, yes, Amani Hooker matched up against the slot fade. Yep, that's a free touchdown, you know. But like, I don't think it's that hard, frankly, to draw things up that would work or to use the data. This is your profession. You've done this for years/decades. But now Arthur Smith, like, does, you know, he moves forward and people think he's an idiot. And why is that? Same guy, same knowledge. So why did things not work for him later? And again, I know right now it's going all right.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, some people aren't cut out to be head coaches either. That's the other part of this. Like, some people are good offensive coordinators and not head coaches.
Yes. But I also think even just the offensive aspect of, like, the Falcons,
right?
They just didn't. I don't think it's because Arthur Smith got dumb for a few years. I think that if you can dominate up front and you have great skill, all your stuff looks so much better. And I'm not flipping that around and making a total excuse for Brian Callahan. I just don't think that the play calling aspect of it is the issue here. It's the CEO part of it that is clearly, to me, the much bigger issue.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Brian Callahan did rave about one player in particular yesterday, and I wonder what that could mean for him moving forward. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.